Hi, I'm Rob Wright.
And I'm Jennifer Follett.
And I'm Andrew Hickey.
And we are here to discuss the rapidly growing tablet market and sort of the growing tablet versus PC discussion that we seem to be having in the IT industry and in the channel as a whole. I wanted to get you guys in here because you guys actually own iPads or use iPads, and you guys are pretty big fans.
We are. I mean, it's not even just a conversation in the industry. It's a conversation we're having right here in the office because you are a tablet holdout.
I have not gotten a tablet, yes. And one of the reasons I have not gotten a tablet yet is because I don't feel like there's a compelling case made for me to get one in addition to my notebook. And
so let's turn the tables on you and why not?
Sure, let's start there.
I like to
be able to use a keyboard. I don't really
care. They make keyboards for the iPad.
They do. But another thing that aggravates me as a user of PCs, a PC lover, if you will, is that the iPad thing, especially. I'm not a huge fan of the fact that it doesn't have a lot of connectivity to outside sources. It doesn't have any, if I'm correct.
It has Wi-Fi. As
the one.
3G.
No. I mean, in terms of ports,
like plugging in a USB drive. Yeah.
Yes, it has the one connection that you can hook up to your Mac or whatever, like an iPhone or an iPod. But to me, it just seems very limited, and it's not something as a PC gamer, like the games like Angry Birds. That's not a compelling case for me to buy one. If you're talking about productivity applications, like maybe I could see my way to explore some of those and maybe it makes a stronger case. But in terms of the device itself...
Well, it depends on how you use your PC.
Yeah.
I mean, because there are certain use cases where the tablet absolutely shines. For example, I am a TV addict.
Yes.
I watch TV a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And often while I'm doing that, I'm doing stuff online. There is no better scenario for a tablet because you can reach over, grab it off the table, hit a button, and it's on.
Yes.
Do what you want to do and get out. Versus if I'm sitting there and I think, oh, wow, I want to go buy something on Amazon right now and I have to boot up my laptop, even if it's in hibernation mode rather than actually totally shut down, I'm still sitting there waiting.
Yeah, you will.
I'm watching the little spinning wheel.
Mm-hmm.
The tablet, it's right there. It's in, it's out, you're done.
Instant gratification.
Yeah, same thing for in the morning. If I want to check my email real quick, before I'm even out of bed, I got that thing open and on, I'm logged in, I see what's going on, and then I'm out.
Well, it's also the apps. I mean, the iPhone had the apps, but with an iPad, say you're having a discussion over, who was in the movie Swordfish, and you pull up your IMDb app, type in the movie Swordfish, boom.
Halle Berry.
The actors come up.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I can do that with my... Like, that's the thing is, if I am in a pinch, and I know the iPhone, especially my Gen 1 iPhone, which I am embarrassed to still be using, and I'm in desperate need of an upgrade, I guess I would do that on my iPhone, even though it runs slower. Do you guys find that there's a big difference between the speed of an iPad versus, like we all have ThinkPads here for work? I don't know if... You know, like you said, it takes a while to boot up, Jen, to get out of standby mode or hibernation mode and then to actually get running again. But once you are running it, do you feel like streaming video, does it work as good relatively on the iPad as it does on your
I watch notebook? A lot of video on my iPad. I mean, the caveat there is that I do not have 3G on mine. I only have Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
But I have used it in hotels and airports and other places and had pretty good experience. On my iPhone, I'd say I have sometimes better experience because of the 3G. Usually, the Wi-Fi out and about in the world is a little untenable.
Mm.
But I've watched videos on my iPhone as well, usually from Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're pretty much restricted to the network you're using. So, I mean, if it's a slower network, then you're probably going to experience problems. But I've, on my home Wi-Fi network, the iPad at least compares or better... is faster than PCs or,
really?
Or the laptops I use at home, the MacBook.
So do you use it for similar tasks then as what Jen described? Like if your wife is watching something on TV and you're not really interested in, you can just take the iPad and
Yeah, it's
streaming video.
It's web surfing. It's streaming video.
Do you do a lot of e-reading?
Some e-reading. I personally still like physical books, but yeah, it's a nice. It's nice to have. It's fast. It's responsive. I think the clarity in the picture is better.
Mm. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah, the clarity of the interface is it's pretty stunning the first time you really sit down and experience, you know, websites and things you've been looking at.
It's really good for sharing photos. Not literally sharing, like emailing to other people, but I mean physically showing photos to other people.
Yeah.
Especially like me, if you have a little kid and you love to show pictures of them a lot, you know, take that thing to mom's house and scroll through a bunch of photos.
Show
I have
it off.
The Shutterfly app. I'm a user of Shutterfly, so anything that's uploaded to Shutterfly, I can show on that in the nice wide, bright format. It's really great.
And I'm going to go back, Jen, mentioning Shutterfly kind of reminded me. You said one of your dislikes about tablets, maybe specifically the iPad, is the lack of the ability to connect peripherals like USB.
Mm.
Like there's no USB port,
right,
and things like that. And I'd actually say that's one of their more compelling features is that they don't have that.
Interesting.
You're not carrying around CDs. You're not carrying around USB devices.
Okay.
I think this tablet revolution, if I may be so bold,
hit me,
could put USBs, make them obsolete.
Don't say that.
You have all of these cloud services.
Oh.
You have your cheap and free ones. You have your Dropboxes.
Yeah.
You have Apple iCloud
now
coming in the fall. You have all of these services that, there's some glitches, but for the most part, is fairly secure.
Gmail, all the Google apps.
Yeah, and you're not going to leave your data that's stored in the cloud in a cab or on an airplane. It's not going to fall out of your pocket with your presentation on it. It's not, you're not required to keep a handle on a second item just to be able to do what you need to do with your device. And I think that's a valuable proposition. I mean, I know USB storage and portable storage is kind of commoditized now, but I'd rather save my music and presentations and documents into the cloud with Google or any of those people than, have to carry it around on a separate device.
Okay. I mean, I guess I disagree a little, and the thing that scares me about this is the thing that I don't understand about the iPad. I guess this is true of most tablets, is that they're being priced not by, like, the iPad that's sold for $500 has the same number of features, can support the same type of apps, same speed, same everything as the $800 one, except for two distinguishing features, whether it has 3G wireless service and the storage capacity. The 3G wireless, I kind of understand is that that's an added benefit, but the storage capacity, we don't sell notebooks or PCs that way. We sell them like, okay, you got a faster processor, you have more features, you have more connectivity options. That's what elevates the price of a PC or a notebook. With the tablet, you're kind of selling it like a smartphone, like you're selling it by storage capacity, and storage is so cheap today, it doesn't really make sense for me to be like.
So you're just offended by that concept?
I am offended.
But I would say PCs are going to start going in that direction too. Look at what Google is trying to do with the Chromebooks. They have Samsung and Acer on board. Those have minimal onboard storage, and they rely solely on cloud apps.
Yeah.
I do kind of appreciate the fact, and maybe it's changing, but that I don't have to say, well, do I want one that's really small and portable, or do I want one that's got a bigger screen? Like, I get the basic, I get the same screen. I don't have to make those decisions that I have to make on a laptop, because you're not, unless you're paying big money for some of the higher-end laptops, you're not getting everything. You are making choices and sacrifices depending on what you want.
Sure, sure.
iPad, did I want 3G or not? I said no. My husband said yes. Whatever.
Okay. I see that point. I guess the other thing that offends me about the iPad, if I may be open about this, is that it seems like a big differentiator for iOS and Apple versus some of the competing tablets, especially anything with Windows 7 on it right now, but more so for, in competition against any Android tablet, is sort of the wealth of applications that you can get for the iPad. And I know most of them have a relatively small footprint, but if you're talking about, you know, hundreds of thousands of available apps and you can only fit up to 64 gig worth of apps on there, I mean, that's really not a lot. So is the distinguishing feature of having them, those many cool apps at your disposal available to you, whether they're free or a few bucks or not, is it really that compelling an argument to go for an iPad if you really are limited by the lack of storage?
Well, let's ask you the question. You have a Gen 1 iPhone.
I do.
How many apps do you have on that?
But I'm not an app guy. Like, I use it as a phone, as a web browser. I got a couple.
I have an iPhone.
I like Shazam.
Shazam's wonderful.
Shazam's good.
I have an iPhone, and I would say that I would never have so many apps that just the apps alone fill up my available capacity. And I would say the same for... They have small enough footprint, but you can only use so many apps.
Yeah.
And they make it very easy to remove them if you don't use them for a period of time. And a lot of them are cheap enough or free enough that if you do get rid of it and say, oh, you know what? I kind of did use that more than I thought I did.
Right.
Let's get it back. I don't see that ever really becoming an issue.
Okay.
I think I have more stuff on my iPhone, but I know I have over 200 some odd pictures and a couple videos thrown in there on that. And then how many apps are on a screen? Like 16, I think. I think I have like 4 or 5 screens worth of apps on there. And
yeah,
I'm nowhere near capacity.
Yeah,
I don't think the iPad would be much different, especially since I am using a lot of cloud stuff. I have some photos stored on it, sure, but a lot of them are cloud-based.
Well, here's the real conflict for me, and I'm, even though I'm resisting getting a tablet, the one thing I will say is that I kind of want an e-reader, and I'm not going to go the e-reader route now because it doesn't make any sense. It's not... The e-reader thing to me is you're not going to pay $100 if you can get a $400 or $500 multifunctional, more powerful, more storage capacity tablet. So, but I like the way, especially websites, like you were, Jen, you brought up the point of the way things look, digital photos, websites, etc., streaming video. I like the way, especially for newspapers and magazines. I know we're working, CRN's working on our CRN, you know, version of iPad version of CRN and different apps and whatnot. I do love the way that websites look and publications look on there, and I like the e-reader functionality. I have played around with an iPad and been very impressed with the way that looks and the way websites look, but I don't know, is that a distinguishing factor though for in other words, do you think that we are going to all have tablets in 5 years and that's the way we're going to be consuming sort of our periodicals, our newspapers, our written words?
I would like it to be. I mean, there are a lot of magazines out there that haven't really jumped on the bandwagon.
Sure.
They'll offer you the subscription to the iPad with this print subscription, but they don't offer you the iPad-only subscription.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as that kicks over, there's a lot of reason to do that because just for ecological reasons, you're not dealing with all that paper and magazines and recycling anymore. The one thing I will say, the iPad is a little heavy to read. I do read a lot on it. It's not that lightweight little thing that the e-readers are. You know, it's definitely not. But it's not enough that it bothers me.
Right.
I think I do more like just general web reading and some e-book reading. I haven't really done a lot of subscriptions on it per se.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it should be the platform of choice going forward for publishers because it's really the best of all worlds.
Yeah. No. Andrew?
Yeah, I agree. I think the ability to not only give the printed content, but add video right into it, being able to offer extra content and have that immediate reach to the web from the page you're reading is, you know, I read certain magazines and they say, oh, for more on this, go to I don't have to do that if I'm reading this on my iPad. I can click the picture and it brings me right to that, or I can, you know, tap this picture and all of a sudden it turns into a video interview with the subject.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking up, I finally got around to watching Black Swan this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I like sometimes after I've watched a controversial movie to go and look back at what different movie reviewers wrote about it. So I was doing that. And one of the reviews that I was reading, this is all on my iPad, mention George Balanchine and ballet, famous okay. ballet choreographer, teacher, mm-hmm. ballet guru. So I was immediately able to go right there and look him up on Wikipedia and learn a little bit more about him. What did he look like? You know, and just seamless.
Right. And I do think, I mean, we've obviously seen some of the things that other, as we look at getting CRN, you know, optimized for the iPad and for tablets, like, I do like the interactivity of being able to, like, if you have a slideshow, just taking your finger and running it across the screen and flipping it through that way rather than clicking and loading and reloading the web page, and web pages all, like, looking different and not being optimized for the same type of screen and same type of browser. It is kind of a headache, I will admit that.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens with the next generation iPads, if they start to bring in the high-resolution Retina displays that they brought out on the iPhone 4 to the tablet platform.
Yeah.
That would be really cool. It would mess up a lot of people. It would mess up a lot of content.
Sure. Because
they're going to have to do some redesign, probably, to accommodate the higher resolution. But
yeah.
That'll be big, I think.
So there's some data I wanted to go over with you guys about the tablet market. JP Morgan Securities is estimating that the tablet market as a whole, and I think they're including e-readers, I'm not totally positive their market data didn't clarify this, but they said it's expected to reach $35 billion next year. That's a lot of cash, because I guess they had reported previously, or maybe it was Gartner, I think, that the tablet market was only about, you know, 10 or 12 million in 2010. So that means there's been major growth in the market. Obviously, there's been a ton of competitors. You have Samsung, you have Lenovo, you have Acer, you have Dell, you have HP. But one thing I want to ask you guys is a lot of these tablets, like, I don't really see them going anywhere. They haven't really gotten strong reviews. I mean, you look at Motorola Zoom came out and people liked it, but they said it was too pricey. Then, you know, the BlackBerry Playbook came out and people said, well, nobody cares about the BlackBerry OS anymore.
I'm surprised at some of the pricing, honestly, that some of these competitors are coming out with. Apple is Apple. People want Apple because it's Apple a lot of times.
Yeah.
And it has a you know, they're first to market, cool factor going for it. People are going to pony up. Now if you're coming, let's call it late to the game.
Yeah.
How are you coming out priced at the same levels as they are?
Or higher.
Or higher.
Yeah.
These people that have already, like us, that have already got their iPads and are making these investments in applications, they're not going to switch over.
Yeah.
So you got to get in first. You have to be the one that they buy first. So if there's someone out there that's not yet bought an iPad and you're one of these other competitors trying to entice them over, you got to go with some price differential.
Sure, sure.
In my view.
And one of the things that's interesting, there's another report that said, I think this one was from Gartner, and said that iPad is going to dominate the tablet market for the next 5 years. Currently, they have about 85% of the market. They made about $10 billion, I think, since the iPad was released in... Was it April of 2010? Yeah. It was April last
year. April 2010.
So, I mean, that's a lot of dough, you know, $10 billion for a little over a year.
I look at it like, I look at the competitive landscape a lot like the cell phone market, the smartphone market, excuse me, that, you know, there's going to be a few handful of key players, and there's just going to be these smaller ones coming in and coming in and coming in, and some people will buy them here and there, but, you know, there's going to be clear winners. I mean, Apple shook up the smartphone market with the iPhone and has,
mm-hmm.
Android, depending on whose reports you read, Android may have the biggest market share, but Android is on dozens of devices where the iPhone is the iPhone.
It's one device, yeah.
I really like the fact that I don't have to think about the security of an application.
No, yeah. That's...
That I don't have to worry that I'm downloading something nefarious or something with a bunch of hidden malware in it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that the level of scrutiny that the Apple Store puts on applications is a little troublesome for some of the developers, but from a user's perspective, I love it.
Yeah.
I don't worry one bit about what I'm downloading. All I worry about is, do I want it and do I want to pay for it? That's it.
For the late entries, and there have been a lot of them, they can't rely on, you know, just coming in and saying, here's our offering, and have it, you know, be similarly priced. And obviously, I think virtually every tablet maker, every manufacturer has released something that is around the $500 price range of you know, the sort of the entry level iPad, the Wi-Fi only. I believe that's the Wi-Fi only. It's $499, 16 gig, whatever, and probably, you know, two megabit of RAM. I'm joking. I think it's 256 megabit of RAM. But you get my point. I just think it's ridiculous that it doesn't have much RAM. But that I'm not going to be offended by it.
This time.
But so what is the, I guess, what is the distinguishing features then for some of these competitors? Is it the OS?
What
is
would it attract someone, you mean?
Well, yeah, I mean, they have to find that. I mean, it can't really be the ports. I mean, for someone like me, who's a PC enthusiast, it offends them that, you know, that there's no connections to the iPad. But like, if I saw an iPad and then I saw the Motorola Zoom, and Motorola Zoom has got USB 2, 2.0, 3.0, SD card, like everything, HDMI, everything under the sun, but it doesn't, you know, it's heavy or it's clunky or whatever. Like, I'm not going to buy it because it's got more ports.
But you're going to buy it because it's not Apple. Because you have a dislike of Apple products.
No. That's not accurate. You know me.
Explain yourself.
I don't have contempt for Apple products. I have an iPhone. You can take away my iPhone, you pry it from my cold dead hands. Okay? I have an iMac. I've used it for years. I love it to death. It's more Apple, the company, aggravates me lately.
Okay, so you'll buy a competitive tablet because it's not made by Apple, the company.
Well, maybe.
You're looking for that tablet that you can buy that's not Apple.
That's more the accurate. I am kind of looking for an alternative. I'm not against buying an iPad. I'm looking for an alternative. And I guess I'm just kind of wondering, like, what would make a good iPad alternative?
That's what all of these manufacturers are struggling to find.
It can't really be storage capacity, because as you guys have pointed out, the storage capacity, again, it's like the ports for me. It doesn't really matter to the average user.
Right.
So it can't be like if there was a new, you know, if Lenovo released a tablet with 100 gig, people would be like, yawn.
The differentiator for some prospective tablet buyers will be the flash support
that's a big one.
Of the Android have. Because that is one of the frustrations with an iPad, is when you click on something and you get that little blue
box. There's a lot of video that you just can't watch on an iPad.
Yeah.
You can get all the YouTube stuff, but when you go to a site, somebody else's site, where they have video, a lot of it you can't watch. And that is frustrating.
Well, then that brings me to another question. So are you telling me, and we go to events all the time now, and we see resellers, vendors, PR people, we see them using iPads, and I don't know if they're using them, like, we know they're using them, maybe they're checking their email, maybe they're surfing the web, maybe they're not really doing productivity stuff on the app, maybe they're not, like, you know, doing their, you know, quote-unquote work on these devices, but they're still using them. And I guess my question then is, If you have an Android tablet that's highly functional and it has flash support, is that a more attractive offering to business users than the iPad, or is the iPad just king right now?
I don't know if I can answer it in those terms, but here's what I could answer it in, is because I'm not someone that's been out there in the world using a lot of Android products,
right?
So I can't say, but I can tell you like what's on my wish list for iPad that some of these guys are probably doing. So number one, we already mentioned it, is the flash support. Yeah. Number two is, I wish I didn't have to close out of an application to open up another one. Especially when I'm dealing with email. Sometimes I want to go to look at a website while I'm doing email.
Right.
And in the iPad, you got to close out and then open the other thing and then copy and paste what you want and close out and open the email back up again. That's a little frustrating. I wish I could just kind of flip through and go back and forth between Windows or applications. And the other, like I said earlier, is the weight of it. It is a little heavy if you want to read.
Right.
So if there were a way to make it lighter, that would be attractive to me. I don't know, the port, I mean, maybe I don't know what I'm missing in terms of, you know, outside connectivity.
Yeah. Andrew, any thoughts?
I agree with her.
I mean, do you think there's a place? I mean, especially from a cloud perspective, it's one of the things that was interesting with Lenovo. They talked about like secure cloud access features for their tablets, and it seems like they're really pushing the business application of it. But do you think that there's...
I think Apple and the iPad are going to dominate both the consumer and business user. It's set the gold standard for the tablet.
Mm.
Apple products are inherently secure.
Mm-hmm. That is a big one for you, for business users.
And it's the consumerization of IT is seeing people bring these into their companies already,
yeah,
and companies maybe begrudgingly are opting to support them.
Yeah.
So I think it's happening, and I think it's going to continue to happen. I don't think there's any one tablet that's better designed for business than another, unless it may be the BlackBerry Playbook, but that's just because it has that built-in tethering to the BlackBerry and that kind of back-and-forth relationship.
Sure.
But I don't see any as being more tailor-made for business and productivity use than another one.
Okay.
There's a couple features here and there, but not a platform as a whole.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think we're going to see more of these devices, though, being used? I mean...
Sure.
But for what? Like, are they going to be using them as a sort of vertically oriented devices, or... I mean, because
now that they have a camera on them...
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
Your UPS delivery person can probably carry in a package,
yeah,
scan that label with the iPad, have you sign on the iPad, and walk,
yeah,
out the door.
Mm-hmm.
That,
sure,
they can... You know, I can take my iPad, if I choose to, I haven't done this, but
yeah,
leave my laptop and take my iPad to a show.
Yeah.
If I had access, if, you know, a lot of our apps here are web-based,
sure,
I could file a story via my iPad. It might take a while.
Yeah.
It might take a little getting used to, but it's just a URL.
Yeah.
So I don't see why, you know, as long as I don't require VPN access... And I'm sure there is a way to get our VPN onto an iPad. I don't see why I couldn't use that while I'm on the road.
Right. Well, that's one thing. When I discussed that very issue with our colleague Ed Moulton. We discussed, you know, some of the tablet offerings out there and tablet competition not too long ago. And one of the things we talked about was, you know, the convenience of the tablet versus the notebook. And you know, the notebook, it's heavier, it's clunkier, it's not as easy to carry around. You have to open it up. Like, if you're at a trade show, and I've done this, you know, too many times to count. Like, I've been at CES, and I've been going to what I think is the right booth, but then I don't have it. I need to look it up, and I need to be one of those guys. And the listeners can't see what I'm doing here, but, like, holding it like a pizza box, with the, you know, holding the monitor and balancing it as I walk
floor
through the show floor, which is really terrifying when you
or
think
you're
about
like
it.
Me and you fire up your laptop every morning, write down the booth numbers that you're supposed to,
yes,
go to on the back of your notebook.
Yeah, that's,
and then have to take your notebook out and
your paper
look
notebook
away. Yes, your paper notebook.
That's
not
so
your,
so caveman.
I don't think we're at the point yet where the tablet's going to totally replace,
right,
the PC, especially the notebook. But there are a,
right,
lot of scenarios where it's my preference.
Yeah.
And it's pretty close. I don't know if I quite... Depends on where I'm going, I suppose, for work. If I have to write, you know, several stories, I'm not going to do that on the iPad. I don't have one of those keyboards.
Right, sure.
I don't want to, you know, carry that as well. It kind of defeats the purpose,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But if I'm really going, just doing some interviews, I take my notes by hand anyway. I'm not typing those into a notebook.
Old school. Yep.
I am old school.
Yep.
So if all I'm really doing is checking email and looking at stuff online and making sure the website's okay and some of those things, I don't need my notebook on,
yeah,
the road for that.
Well, I think that was my point. I think that's why when we go to events, we're seeing more iPads now, because it's convenient for people that are on the road, that are going to events, that are doing a lot of traveling. And
did they make you take those out of your bags?
Oh yeah, last time I flew, they did. They made a special note to say everything, iPads, you know, notebooks, whatever. So, but I mean, I know that after a few days, like if I'm at a trade show in Vegas or wherever, I'm at a big event and I've been walking the show floor with my my laptop bag. Some days I just leave my laptop in my hotel room, and I guess I'm telling, you know, plenty of people out there that if they could get a hold of my notebook if they broke into my hotel room. But yeah, I mean, I guess there is something to that convenience of having a lighter, simpler device.
And it's also to one of Jen's original points is how quickly they start up. I mean, it's touch a button and it's instant on. And if you've even just closed the lid on your laptop and had it go into hibernation and you're trying to fire it up while trying to get somewhere to find some piece of information that you need to get to where you're going.
Yeah.
I mean, you're saving yourself a couple of minutes.
Sure.
And you know, at trade shows, when you're bouncing from booth to meeting to meeting to booth, every minute counts.
Yeah.
I will say I have a love-hate relationship with the autocorrect features on the iPad, especially when you're doing email.
Yeah.
There are a couple, you know, I wish sometimes that it wouldn't autocorrect something that's capitalized.
Sure.
Or, I don't know, sometimes I, you know, I always have to read everything again before I send it off to make sure I didn't accidentally say something ridiculous because of the autocorrect.
Yep.
And the other thing I wish they did on the iOS there is when you, because of the keyboard, you know, popping up and down as you're typing in things, if I'm on a website and the field asks me for a phone number,
sure,
I wish it would automatically go to the number pad.
Yeah.
Rather than starting with the alphabet pad and then I have to switch over.
Right.
That's another little point, Apple, if you're listening.
A pet peeve.
Yep.
Well, I want to close out with the point that you made, Jen, about the tablet. You don't feel like it's going to replace the PC. I mean, obviously that's something that a lot of people are saying. I'm sure the folks at Apple are high on the sort of the notion that, you know, the PC is dead and it just doesn't, it's not sexy, it's not user friendly, it's not this, it's not that. A lot of VARs I've talked to say that, you know, hey, there's vertical applications for a tablet, whether it's the iPad or an Android tablet in the workplace, but at the end of the day, businesses still need, you know, they need high performance, they need storage capacity, they need stuff that's going to run fast, they need stuff that's going to be able to support a lot of, you know, applications with big footprints, yada, yada, yada. What do you guys see there? I mean, obviously,
I take the storage complaint out of the game because of cloud storage. I don't think that's a relevant point. The other stuff, yeah, I mean, maybe not for our industry here as journalists, but there are plenty of other industries where, the tablet's not going to cut it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not going to be Zergen on the tablet.
No, I'm not going to be playing StarCraft on the tablet. No. That's for damn sure. I'll maybe play some games on the tablet, but not my true PC hardcore.
But there's always going to be a segment of the population that just can't do it.
Yeah.
I still listen to records. So if there's going to be holdouts.
You mean vinyl?
There's going to be holdouts.
Yeah, so you're
going
to be a PC holdout with me?
I'm not going to be a PC holdout with you.
No?
No, I'm...
Desktops?
Rebel? Yes, desktops. I see tablets.
Never say die?
I see tablets slowly, you know, we're not going to wake up tomorrow and, you know, every company is going to take the laptops back and issue everybody a tablet. But I see it, you know, over the next 5-10 years, I mean, slowly chipping away.
Yeah.
And eventually I think it'll eclipse it. I mean, yeah, some of your hardcore industries where, you know, you're climbing poles and scaling wires with a tough book, you know, that's probably not tailor-made for a tablet.
Yeah.
But, you know, there could be a time. I mean, who's going to make the first rugged tablet?
Yeah.
The question, too, for our listeners is going to be, are they actually being purchased by the businesses?
Yeah.
Supported by the businesses? A lot of companies right now are taking advantage of the fact that their employees are buying them on their own. I won't name any names. But, so, you know, that's not really a relevant trend for our readers until the IT departments start buying them.
True.
Yeah, well, I think Apple could even, you know, if it wants to get into more businesses and wants, you know, solution providers to start offering these things, I'll go back to that Google Chromebooks model where they're going to do subscription-based for the hardware and you pay for the services, but the hardware itself is, you know, $28 a month per machine.
Right.
And then if it breaks, you send it back, they send you another one, you get $28 a month.
Yeah.
Per user. I think that could be a really great business model for having tablets in a business environment.
Sort of disposable, the disposable hardware model, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh, interesting. Maybe we'll see notebook tablet hybrids.
Then. Those are out there.
Yeah, I know. I know Lenovo has the U1 hybrid. I was a big fan of it. They showed it off at CES. I mean, something like that would be ideal for someone like me who wants the PC but sometimes just wants the convenience of a tablet. And, you know, on those days when you're tired and you're walking the show floor at CES, you just pop the tablet screen off and go around with that, and you leave the rest of it in the hotel room for any of the listeners to break into the go get tasered. All right. Well, I appreciate the input, guys.
Are you going to buy one?
I'm thinking about it. I'm not making a commitment.
That's really what people want to know, is if we convinced you.
Well, maybe we'll do a part two in a few weeks after I do some more soul searching and some more homework.
Sitting at the park bench, looking at the sunset.
Sure.
You know, doing your little tablet.
Yeah.
Soul searching.
Yeah. I'll do some exploring. I'll look at what they got for games, and then that'll probably be the determining factor. If there's some fun stuff on there, then maybe I can see my way to getting one.
Don't disparage Angry Birds.
No, I won't. Well, that's all for this episode of the CRN Podcast. I'm Rob Wright.
I'm Jen Follett.
And I'm Andrew Hickey.
Thanks for listening.